The WBEN All Local. All Local. A daily look at what's happening in Buffalo, Western New York, and the world.
I'm Susan Rose.
I'm Lucas Buckley, in for Brian Mazurowski.
Here's what's happening. President Trump's reciprocal tariffs hit today. We have more from the White House.
A lot of goods imported to the U.S. are now facing higher tariffs as part of President Trump's agenda to rebalance trade relationships.
You know, we're taking in literally trillions of dollars for the country. This is making our country very rich and respected again.
The president has reached tariff and trade agreements with several trading partners. Other countries have received letters letting them know the tariff rates for goods shipped to the U.S. A federal appeals court heard arguments this week in a case challenging President Trump's authority to set tariff rates without congressional approval. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
And for more on that appeal, we go to Fox's Jessica Rosenthal.
Justice Department Attorney Brett Shumate defended President Trump's use of the International Economic Emergency Powers Act to enact many of his tariffs. The judges pushed back. One questioned if a growing trade deficit really amounts to an emergency.
Essentially, it's reached a tipping point, right? It's affecting our military readiness. It's affecting our domestic manufacturing capabilities. So yes, absolutely.
Attorney Neil Katyal, who argued for the business that sued the Trump administration, told the judges,
they are asserting a sweeping of power as one imaginable with, as Chief Judge Moore pointed out, all no judicial limits.
He said if the government were to have the kind of tariff power the administration's trying to assert here, Congress would have already given it. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
The Bills are back in Orchard Park tonight for their annual Return of the Blue and Red scrimmage. There's no other events planned at the stadium other than this year's games. Many fans hopeful to get their chance at making the trek to Orchard Park one last time before the new stadium opens next year. WBEN's Brayton Wilson is here with that.
For Bills fan James Mirrors and his sister Stephanie, their love for the team and Highmark Stadium stems from their dad and grandfather being huge fans of the team back in the day.
Our grandfather, our dad, grew up going to the Bills Stadium, the Ralph, Sundays at the Ralph, their whole life. And that's really why we're Bills fans. So growing up in the stadium and now being able to see the rise of a new one, our generation of the Bills, is really cool.
Fans over the years were able to come away with plenty of core memories from their time watching the team in the 52 years at the stadium. For Zach from Rochester, his favorite memory came in a recent playoff win a few years back.
Watching them beat the Dolphins, it was a messy game a little bit, but they still squeaked it out. It was just nice to see a playoff win. That was the only playoff game I've seen there, so that was a good time to see that.
As for Dave from Rochester, he was able to have a recent memorable moment at the current Highmark Stadium with the chance to be a fan for the new Hallmark Christmas movie premiering later this year.
That was pretty cool. I was in the stadium, one of the stadium scenes. You know, it was 40 and cool, so that was fine because we had to dress for a winter game. And then when we had to dress for a tailgating scene, like it was December, it was about an 86-degree day, and we were all red-faced, but not from the cold. It was from the heat. So a lot of cotton on the ground for snow, and it was pretty interesting.
Hear more from fans on the final year at Highmark Stadium on our website. Brayton Wilson, WBEN.com News.
All right, Brayton, and football returned in a way yesterday as the Los Angeles Chargers faced off against the Detroit Lions in the Hall of Fame game. Here's Joe Morgan with more.
After nearly 6 months of waiting, NFL fans were treated to some football on Thursday. The Chargers easily took care of the Lions 34-7 in the Hall of Fame game that kicked off the NFL's preseason. The two-star quarterbacks, Jared Goff and Justin Herbert, did not see the field as Trey Lance got the start for Los Angeles and Kyle Allen was under center for Detroit. Lance, the third pick of the 2021 NFL Draft, threw for 120 yards and two touchdowns, while the Lions turned the ball over five times, including three in the first quarter. Joe Morgan, Fox News.
I don't think, I wasn't really into last night's game, but just having it on was like, oh, okay. Football's back. Everything feels good again.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that always bothers me at the Hall of Fame game is they intersplice it with interviews with the Hall of Fame inductees, which I get. I mean, by that time, the third stringers are in. So, but it was a good game from what I saw. I watched about the first quarter and a half, and it was fun.
Good to know that it's back.
Right. Good to see the NFL uniforms again. That just always feels good to see.
Well, before yesterday's game started, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell talked about the shooting this week in Midtown Manhattan. He called it heartbreaking and devastating. It was the first time the commissioner addressed the attack, which was intended to be carried out on NFL headquarters. We're also hearing from a worker who survived.
We are learning about the cleaning lady who stared down the barrel of the shooter's rifle and survived. Sabia Nulovich says she was collecting garbage Monday on the 33rd floor when the shooter approached. He started shooting around me, she said, screaming, "I'm a cleaning lady, I'm a cleaning lady." Nulovich ran down the hall, hid in a closet, and started praying. She heard shouting and then footsteps as the gunman, Shame Tamira, moved toward her, firing at the closet door.
And that's Rhiannon Ellie with the story. We'll hear more about her account, her face-to-face encounter with the shooter from that cleaning woman, coming up when we go in-depth at 7:15.
Well, back here in Western New York, another of the big summer festivals going on this weekend. WBEN's Tom Puckett has more.
The Eden Corn Festival got underway last night with a community pet show, and today there's a cross-country race.
Race for the corn, and it's a 2.5-mile race, and it's through kind of the backwoods of Eden and around some cornfields, and it's fun, well-attended, and people do like to watch the ending of it. Well-attended, a lot of participation.
Jeff Winter says the corn harvest was a good one.
Tough season. In the beginning, it was cold and wet, and then it got very hot, but corn likes hot, humid weather, so the crop has come in and it's very, very good.
Some 60,000 ears are ready to be shucked this weekend. Hear more about what's going on online. Tom Puckett, WBEN.com News.
60,000 ear of corn.
Unbelievable.
For the festival.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that is pretty wild. But they win. They win the festival derby weather, right? I mean,
That's right.
I think maybe the best weekend of summer. Members of Congress debate ways to potentially ban lawmakers from trading stocks.
Senator Rick Scott of Florida says he spoke with President Trump about not supporting a bill proposed by fellow Republican Josh Hawley that would ban senators and House members from trading stocks. Scott claims it would target the current president as well.
Why would we give the Democrats another opportunity to attack the president? That's exactly what this bill was done.
After being criticized in a Truth Social posting, Senator Hawley says he spoke with President Trump, telling him the bill would exempt the current administration and not take effect until a new one takes over in 2029. Several bills have been introduced on a bipartisan basis to ban the practice of those in office trading stocks. On Capitol Hill, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
And nearby at the White House, President Trump signed an executive order to expand the President's Council on Sports, Fitness, and Nutrition. The order also brings back the presidential fitness test in public schools.
From the late 1950s until the 2013, graduate scholars all across our country competed against each other in the presidential fitness test, and it was a big deal. This was a wonderful tradition, and we're bringing it back.
The old program directed children to run and perform sit-ups, pull-ups, or push-ups in a sit-and-reach test. It was changed in 2012 during President Obama's administration to focus more on individual health than athletic feats.
I remember the presidential fitness test. It was a big deal in school.
We had the one I remember is the PACER test.
Okay.
And then they didn't really have a name for our once a semester, whatever it was, stretching physical tests.
Yeah.
I think it was just fitness testing. I think that's just what they called it.
I feel like, though, they've gotten away from that now.
Yeah.
And it's good to see it coming back.
Yeah. It's nice. Like I'm just thinking the presidential fitness test just has a sort of air to it.
Right. And you would get a certificate, you know, like
that's
a reward,
really cool.
Too.
Yeah.
The exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast calls for an absolutely gorgeous afternoon and weekend ahead. We'll have mostly sunny skies and temperatures in the middle 70s with a little bit of a breeze out of the north, but nice low humidity levels as well. It will be clear and cool tonight, temperatures dropping into the lower 50s. And for Saturday, expect more sunshine, temperatures rising closer to average into the upper 70s. And for Sunday, expect another sunny day, highs in the low 80s. With your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast, I'm meteorologist Autumn Lewandowski.
Joining us on the live line is the chair of the Eden Corn Fest, Jeff Winter. The Corn Fest got underway yesterday. Jeff, 60,000 ears of corn. Tell us about it.
Well, I'll tell you what, if it's any indication what yesterday was like, we're going to have a phenomenal week. You know, we kicked off at 3 o'clock yesterday, and I was a little bit nervous because it was still raining at 2, and about 5 to 3, it stopped raining. It cleared up. By 5 o'clock, the bright sun was out, and we had a great crowd here last night.
You know, I think you win the Western New York Festival Derby for best weather. What does it mean to have such a great forecast this weekend?
Well, it's phenomenal. I mean, a lot of, you know, our festival, you know, supports over 15 local not-for-profits, and that's how the festival was founded. And it's great to see, you know, there's over 500 volunteers from the different organizations that help put the festival on. You know, in a community of less than 8,000 people, to have 500 people dedicated to raising money for their organizations is a great thing.
How much are you expecting the festival to bring in for those nonprofits, and what are they?
Well, the nonprofits we have are big ones on the grounds are the fire department. They cook all the corn. The American Legion Post, the grounds we're located on, they get all of the alcohol revenue, all the sales from that. And we've got the Methodist Church that has a rib stand. We've got the Sons of the American Legion has a clam stand. And then around the perimeter, we got a Boys and Girls Club that they have a parking lot. Our Eden All Sports Boosters have a parking lot. And there's a lot of smaller ones. We have one of the East Eden Fire Department. They help with parking. So we kind of spread it around to all the different groups. And even, you know, we even got a group that does the recycling for us. So, you know, we try to make sure that everybody profits from it. And I really don't get their numbers because as long as they're happy, I'm happy.
Obviously, it means a lot to the community. Tell us how the corn crop is this year. I mean, we have had a lot of heat recently. We know it was a wet spring and a dry summer. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, the corn, we started out, I mean, the early corn, it was cold, it was wet, and I really, the corn was probably about a week to 10 days later than normal being done. But then it got very hot and it's been very humid, and corn does like hot and humid weather. And again, the farmers have to add water to it. And most of the farmers will tell you, though, that it's easier to add water than it is to take it away. So the crop is good. I mean, it's, you know, the ears aren't maybe quite as big as they have been in past years, but the flavor is great.
How far-reaching is the turnout? Are there farmers from maybe other rural parts of New York that are coming in for this festival too?
Well, all of our corn is provided from the local farmers that belong to the Eden Valley Cooperative. And, you know, most of the corn is grown within probably 3 miles of the festival.
All right, well, some of the events, I mean, there's so much going on this weekend. We know it started last night, but what are some of the highlights coming up?
Well, we have today we have a Race for the Corn, which is a 2.5-mile cross-country run through kind of the backwoods of Eden and maybe through a cornfield even. And that we've got going on. We've got a cruise night going on. We've got entertainment each night on our stage, and we've also got entertainment in our beer barn. Tomorrow is the fun day. Tomorrow we start out with a corn shucking contest for all ages, and then we move on to our media personality shucking contest, which we've got 10 people. Some of them are local weather forecasters, and some of them are news anchors, and some of them are radio personalities, and that's kind of fun. And the nice part about that, we've got Dan Dunleavy, who's the play-by-play announcer for the Buffalo Sabres, and he's going to be doing play-by-play of the event. So that'll be fun. We've also got a large craft show that runs Saturday and Sunday, and we've got over 200 crafters that participate in that event both days. We've got baseball playoffs. You know, every kid's dream that plays Little League is to get to the finals and play at the Eden Corn Festival. So we've had baseball games started on Wednesday. We had games Thursday night, we've got games Friday and Saturday. And then on Sunday, we've got a very large cornhole tournament, a nice parade, mile-and-a-half-long parade with about 70 units in it. And again, the craft show is still going on. So it's a busy day, an active place, and a lot of fun.
I'm curious about the corn shucking contest. What's the preferred technique, would you say, that the perennial winners use for shucking corn?
Well, I sometimes give them a private lesson. And, you know, it's really only a three-step process. You pull down the one side, you pull down the other side, and you break it off. They do get judged, though, on how clean they do clean the corn off. So it's a lot of fun. And, again, all the age groups like it. The media people have fun with it. And I think Dan Dunleavy is going to do a good job of kind of, you know, getting some rivalries going.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I got to say, I have to have a clean corn cob, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, do you, when you eat corn on the cob, Jeff, do you go left to right? Do you go up and down? What's your...
I go left to right.
Okay. Kind of like a piano. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hey, fun talking to you, Jeff. Thanks so much.
Yeah, great. Thanks for calling, and come out and enjoy the festival. Great weather, so should be a good time.
That's Jeff Winter, the chair of this year's Eden Corn Festival, which is already underway, and they have perfect weather over the weekend.
That's the WBEN All Local. All new episodes are made available each weekday morning, produced by the award-winning WBEN Newsroom.